cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Ted Cruz joins the program to talk about his new book, Unwoke. We foreshadow some of the elections that are underway right now, and we also talk about the NBC News RNC debate. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. It's election day today in Kentucky. It's across the country, there's election day. But if you are in Kentucky, go vote. The governor's race is nearly tied. I don't want to get your hopes up. It might not turn out too well. My gut tells me Beshear is probably going to win. But if you're in Kentucky, you have to vote, vote, vote. And let's prove all the polling and all the trends wrong. Let's make Cameron the next governor of Kentucky. And by the way, with the turtle, the Mitch glitch, you know, he's just, who knows if the, you know, the turtle goes away, then the governor of Kentucky appoints the replacement. And Virginia, we have an amazing opportunity. Glenn Youngkin, who I praised on this show. Glenn Youngkin, if Glenn Youngkin stays out of the presidential race and he's able to flip the Virginia House of Commons, big respect for Glenn Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin's a smart guy. He doesn't want to get DeSantis. Is that a verb now? DeSantis. He's focusing on Virginia. And, you know, there's a lot of big, very powerful people that are trying to push Youngkin into the presidential race. And he seems hesitant. To his credit, he says, hey, let me focus on Virginia. Let me focus on Virginia. But I also think Youngkin knows that this is not his time. This is a Trump time. President Trump did not get a fair shake in 2020. He was an excellent president. The base is not moving. And I think Glenn Youngkin is happy being a very, very successful governor of Virginia. And so for that, I say, Glenn Youngkin, if you are able to flip the Virginia state legislature and stay out of the presidential race and unite the tribes around Donald Trump, I'm going to be an enthusiastic supporter for Glenn Youngkin. Wise, not dividing the party, and also maybe putting forward a red print of how to win in blue states. We'll see. We'll see how tonight goes. But early indicators show that Glenn Youngkin's push and capital raising in Virginia is proving to be successful. Look, Glenn Youngkin is not as conservative as I am. He's more of a Chamber of Commerce guy. But if Glenn Youngkin stays out of this presidential race, and by the way, it's not like Trump would have a difficulty with him. It's just that Glenn Youngkin would raise $100 million and distract us this late in the game. So let's keep our eyes on that. But Glenn Youngkin, in my opinion, if he ends up doing that, which looks like he does, is what Ron DeSantis should have done. You know, we've had Ron DeSantis speak at our events for years. I think Ron DeSantis is America's greatest governor. I get a lot of hate mail when I say that. He's a terrific legislator. He's a policy-type mind. We've invited him to our upcoming event at AmFest. He decided not to come to our event, AxCon, over the summer. For whatever reason, he was too busy or something. But we have a debate tomorrow. Not exactly, you know, super important television, in my opinion. Is Ron DeSantis continuing this race the best thing for his career, the best thing for the country, the best thing for the party, and the most important objective that triumphs over all objectives, defeating Joe Biden and the Democrat regime? Everything we do, we are less than a year away. So enough patty cake, enough abstractions. We need to talk real. We need to talk about what's actually going to make a difference, okay? So the question that I will ask again is, Ron DeSantis running for the presidency getting the endorsement of the Carly Fiorina of Iowa, is that going to move the ball forward? He's going all in on Iowa. He's making an attempt for it. I love the state of Iowa. Iowa has some amazing people. Iowa likes to be courted. Iowa likes to be listened to. Iowa has a tradition of trying to decide their caucus decision late. The people in the DeSantis camp are saying, hey, if you saw our polling, you'd be very confident that these caucus goers are going to trend towards DeSantis. He's going all in. So maybe they're seeing something that we're missing that we don't see in the grassroots, in the attendance, in the events, in the polls, in the small dollar donations. I doubt it. The Ron DeSantis, instead of allocating his $100 million to ballot chasing, to general election infrastructure that he could take full credit for in Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, he's going all in on Iowa. I think that's a mistake. Even if he was able to win Iowa. The question is, who won Iowa in 2016? Ted Cruz. Did that get him the nomination? No. I'm not saying this is an anti-Iowa thing. Who won Iowa in 2012? Santorum. Did that get him the nomination? On the Democrat side, if it wasn't for widespread machine tabulation failure, who won Iowa in 2020? Pete Buttigieg. People forget that. Bernie Sanders won Iowa. Remember, he snuck it. The point is that Iowa is not everything. And Ron DeSantis' strategy to go all in on Iowa is not strategic. It's desperation. There is no other plan. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to really anger the wonderful people of Iowa. But look, let's just be honest. The facts are the facts. Iowa picks corn. New Hampshire picks presidents. Donald Trump is probably still going to win Iowa, despite all of that. New Hampshire has a far better track record of dictating and determining. But honestly, let's see what happens. I love Iowa. I'm glad they're the first. It's very intimate. It's very personal. It's very close. Governor Kim Reynolds is the governor of Iowa. She's popular. And she is now endorsing Ron DeSantis. She said she's going to remain neutral. I'm going to remain neutral. You're seeing here a Republican establishment, a Republican uniparty that will not get behind Donald Trump without throwing everything they can. We are less than a year away from going up against the regime, the uniparty, the Democrat oligarchs. The Republican primary has been sleepy and slow almost all summer and fall, and they want to ignite it. They want to bring up the temperature, despite the fact that Donald Trump is up 50 points in every major poll. Play cut 51.
We need a president who has the skill and the resolve to reverse the madness that we see every single day. We need someone who won't get distracted, but will stay disciplined, who puts this country first and not himself. That leader is Ron DeSantis.
Okay, that's obviously a jab towards Donald Trump. We need a president who has the skill and the resolve to reverse the madness that we see every day. So let me tell you something that really animates me. It's fine. These people running for the presidency, they had all summer to get traction and they haven't. I will not necessarily watch every minute of the debate. I've said this. I've got angry emails. I'm glad Hugh Hewitt is involved. I like Hugh. He's been really good to me. We don't agree on everything. He's a great man. He's always had my back. But you got Lester Holt and Welker. You might as well have Mark Elias and Nancy Pelosi. You might as well have Letitia James as a debate moderator, okay? It's absolute madness, the fact that NBC News, the RNC actively sought out NBC News. The RNC doesn't want to work with Real America's Voice. The RNC could have Bannon, Bongino. Why doesn't the RNC go to the, I don't know, just a totally different company that I have great respect for, the Daily Wire? Wouldn't that be amazing if the RNC went to the Daily Wire instead of NBC News? What's that all about? Daily Wire is a legit company. They got a million plus subscribers. They got some of the biggest talent, huge media company. Candace Owens, Matt Walsh, Ben Shapiro. You could have Jordan Peterson be a moderator. He could ask them their thoughts on Jungian psychology. It would be amazing TV. Instead, I have to go listen to Lester Holt ask, you know, Chris Christie about birth control. Like, just like that's just like a, I don't even want to visualize that. Why is the RNC partnering with NBC News? Do we not? We're less than a year away from an election. All the time for your games was the summer. Fine. You know, summertime games, whatever. Has it resulted in anything meaningful or tangible? Of course not. NBC News looks at this as a way to infiltrate, subvert, and weaken the Republican cause heading into next November. But we're going to build this out because it infuriates me. What won't be mentioned tomorrow hasn't been mentioned really the first two debates, and it angers the Republican base. It's the one of the, if not the most important issue happening in America. And if you just watched these Republican debates isolated, you'd think that you're back in 1980s Reagan America, that our best days are ahead, and cut taxes. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. I want you to listen carefully to what Kim Reynolds said. It's amazing. We need a president who has the skill and the resolve to reverse the madness. Someone who won't get distracted, that will stay disciplined, who puts his country first and not himself. What an insulting statement, Governor Reynolds. It's obviously a veiled jab at Trump, who puts his country first and not himself. You have Donald Trump facing 700 years in federal prison. He's about to lose his business empire to that thug, Letitia James. And you're doing a little jab saying, oh, you know, it's not about himself. If it was all about himself, why would Donald Trump still be in the game? He's about to lose everything that he earned. They're trying to take Mar-a-Lago from him, Trump Tower from him, at the very least, his New York business empire. They might fine him anywhere between $200 to $500 million in a massive liquidation judgment. And Kim Reynolds says, well, you know, we need someone who's not all about themselves. Let me ask you this. Is the person who's polling between 60 and 70% all about himself, or the person polling between 6 or 7%? Which one is it all about themselves? So Kim Reynolds is parroting this new talking point. Yeah, you know, we can't have a bunch of people that just only want about themselves. And here's what infuriates me. We're going to see it tomorrow. These Republican candidates, deep down, they have contempt and hatred for you. Not all of them. I think Vivek, to his credit, he's really harmonized with the America First base. But there is a nastiness about the Republican Party becoming the working class and muscular class party. How many of them tomorrow are going to get actually angry or even mention that the former president, leader of the opposition party, who, by the way, is beating Joe Biden in almost every single poll, believe it or not, it's just every single poll. So he's at least popular according to the paper of record, is facing 700 years in federal prison and his business empire is about to be stolen. How many Republican candidates tomorrow with Lester Holt and Kristen Welker might as well have Big Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg host the debate? That's what you got. You got tomorrow. It's not Lester. You should just remove and replace. You got Big Fannie and Alvin Bragg as your debate moderators tomorrow. How many of them are going to get angry and upset? They won't, because deep down they actually support it. And here's an example. We have to sit through this. Listen to this. This is cut 45 of Chris Christie barking at voters who don't like him because he's smug and elitist while he enjoys his 2% polling advantage. Why are we putting up with this? Why don't we cancel these things and deploy our resources into the states that matter and unify? Because deep down, this is the key, the Republican Party has been subverted. The Republican Party has been infiltrated by the enemy. They want nasty debates. Credit to Donald Trump for not taking the bait. They want a long primary. They don't want something settled early. They don't want war chests to be built, ballot chasers to be hired, voters to be registered. They want Lester Holt and Kristen Welker to have free shots on goal, to be able to be cut on NBC News and pushed, notified to every Apple News notification imaginable of, look, the whole thing is going to be about abortion access and women's rights and contraception. Meanwhile, we have a completely wide open border. The economy is crummy and we're stumbling and barreling towards two regional wars. It feels like the country's collapsing and we have to be lectured by Alvin Bragg and Big Fannie Willis. Play cut 45.
Every one of those catcalls, every one of those yells will not keep it. Yes, sure. Will not solve one problem we face in this country. Will not solve. And will not and will not make this country better. Your anger against the truth is reprehensible. The problem is you fear the truth. The problem is you want to shout down any voice that says anything different than what you want to hear.
What are you, Jack Nicholson? You can't handle the truth. No, Chris, you can't handle any weight loss program. It's been very clear for the last 10 years watching. Chris Christie refuses to leave the Republican Party, even though the Republican Party doesn't want him. Same with Adam Kinzinger, because he is a subverting agent of the Republican Party. His mission is to undermine the Republican Party, weaken us from within. He is a toxin, no different than some of these other people running. He won't leave even though he's not wanted because he has a different agenda. His agenda is to get Joe Biden elected at any means necessary. So why are we putting up with it? And why do we have Lester Holt and Kristen Welker going after our candidates? Public Square is one of my favorite apps. There are progressive corporations out there that are just doing terrible things. And Public Square is out there leading the charge against all this garbage that we see from Target, for example. Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. And financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer. With Public Square, we now have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Public Square is free to join. You can get started today. If you're a business owner, join. If you're a consumer, join. Check it out. Download the Public Square app today. Michael, who runs Public Square, does a beautiful job. Good friend of mine, 100% behind him. Check it out today. It's important we understand cultural Marxism primarily comes from a series of documents and letters that were published by Antonio Gramsci, letters from prison in the late 1920s. Interestingly enough, Pete Buttigieg's father is actually the person who originally translated them. So that's something to think about. In South Bend, Indiana, found the letters from prison and translated them. Antonio Gramsci argued that economic Marxism, proletariat versus the bourgeoisie, is not enough to advance a Marxist revolution in the world. It's not going to be sufficient. There was one person who specifically believed this, and that would be Herbert Marcuse, kind of the author of the pioneer of the Frankfurt School and modern cultural Marxism. Joining us now is Senator Ted Cruz. Senator, thank you so much for taking the time. Excited to talk about your new book, Unwoke. I encourage everyone to purchase it. Tell us about your book, Senator.
Charlie, great to be with you. Thanks for having me. So today, I've got a brand new book that just hit bookstores all across America today. It is entitled Unwoke, How to Defeat Cultural Marxism in America, which you were just talking about a second ago. I wrote this book because I, like you, like Americans across this country, am horrified at what's happening to this country, at how radical everything has gotten. And in particular, what has happened is each of the major institutions in America have been captured by the radical left. And this book systematically goes through and it analyzes, number one, how and why that happened. But number two, it lays out a battle plan for how we turn it around, how we take those institutions back. So the book starts, chapter one, with the universities. And I refer to the universities as the Wuhan lab of the woke virus. It's where the virus was created. It's where it mutated. It's where it spread. And it spread to all of the other institutions. Chapter two is K through 12 education. And it went next to elementary school and junior high and high school and critical race theory and the extreme transgender agenda, all of which is being pumped to our kids. The next chapter focuses on journalism. And as you know, journalism is broken. It is shattered. It is corrupt. From there, it goes to big business, to big tech, to entertainment, to Hollywood, to movies, to TV, to sports and music. And finally, to science. And the book examines how each one of these institutions were corrupted from within And it lays out very specific steps to take them back.
I love it. The book is Unwoke. So people must understand cultural Marxism can be applied to almost anything. It's the oppressor-oppressed dynamic, and they use it with race, they use it with gender, they'll use it with class. And Senator, they're also using it now with foreign policy, Israel and Hamas. Talk about the rise that we've seen in Jew hatred, because if they have a lens, they'll just apply that lens to anything that's occurring. Any current event, they'll find good guy, bad guy. Talk about that, Senator.
Yep. Well, that's exactly right. If you go back to the origins of Marxism, you look at Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto, and he viewed history as economically determined, as an inevitable conflict, a conflict between the oppressor and the victim. And Marx viewed it on a socioeconomic term. So the oppressor was the owner of capital, and the victim was the proletariat, the working men. And his solution was the violent overthrow, the violent revolution of the proletariat that overthrows the owners of capital. And it relies on force, on government power to forcibly redistribute from the oppressor to the victims. That's the original view of Marx. And in the 1960s and 70s, we saw the Marxists begin to invade universities, particularly the elite universities in the United States. At first, they were plain vanilla Marxists. They were focused on economic redistribution and economic power. As you noted, they then shifted the lens to other attributes. So race, critical race theory, is the Marxist lens applied to race and viewing America as inevitably racist, and a conflict between the oppressors and the victims, and the answer being violent revolution. You look at gender, and whether it is gender or gender identity, exact same. And when you look at what's happening with Israel, this is a perfect illustration of this mindset. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was sitting down, I was talking with a very successful high-tech entrepreneur in Silicon Valley. And he leans left. He's typically been a man of the left. And he was expressing complete bewilderment at the rabid anti-Semitism we're seeing on the left, whether it's the squad in the House or these demonstrations on university campuses of rabid anti-Israel, anti-Semitic protesters, threats of violence directed at Jewish students. And he was like, well, where is this coming from? And I explained it exactly as you just laid it out there, Charlie. I said, look, to the cultural Marxists, Jews are coded as oppressors.
Bingo.
And the Palestinians are coded as victims. And that means to the cultural Marxists, they support the violent revolution of the Palestinians forcibly overthrowing Israel. That's why you see, for example, Black Lives Matter cheering on the Hamas terrorists, even as they're murdering civilians, as they're raping women and little girls, as they're murdering infants. To the cultural Marxist, all of those are acceptable losses to overthrow what they view as the oppressor.
Yeah. So, Senator, I think this is so important because then it's rinse and repeat and they reapply it. And I told this to a group of, Jewish donors to many causes in Israel. They said, but Charlie, can't we just find common ground? I said, you will lose the argument in Israel if you do not crush cultural Marxism. And so let's talk about defeating it, Senator. You know, you dedicate a lot of the book to actually crushing cultural Marxism. What do you think is their Achilles heel? You've studied it. You fight it, right? You've had actual cultural Marxist Robert Francis O'Rourke, you know, run after you. He's a true believer, you know, in cultural Marxism. How do we beat these people?
Well, there are several things. Number one, their views are wildly unpopular. And so there is power to transparency and sunshine. Look, normal people don't support abolishing the police. Normal people don't support open borders and the chaos at our southern border. Normal people don't support medically sterilizing 8-year-old children and surgically removing their genitals. That is not a normal view. Normal people know what the hell a woman is, and they don't get confused on that question. On all of those issues, the radical left, they're on the wrong side of 90-10 issues. And so they rely on power. They rely on brute force because they don't rely on persuasion. Instead, they rely on indoctrination. So we need to retake institutions. So, for example, in the world of journalism, we need to create new outlets. Frankly, what you're doing with your podcast, it is a direct assault on the power, on the woke journalism. I do a podcast every week, Verdict with Ted Cruz, 3 days a week. It's the same thing. It's creating alternative avenues to go around the woke media. But what I urge in the book, one of the things I urge in the book is conservatives and libertarians with money need to acquire outlets, need to acquire the organs of transmission of ideas, need to buy newspapers and TV stations and radio stations. We need to buy movie studios and book publishing houses and record labels. And this is an area where left and right, there's been an asymmetry. The left appreciates the power of ideas. The right consistently does not. So, for example, I talk in the book about how Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post for $300 million. Now, he didn't buy it because he believes in the long-term profitability of print media. I'm quite confident that's not why he purchased it. He purchased it because he wanted to own the commanding heights of public discourse. That's right. And too many people on the right, they say, well, you know, I could earn a slightly higher rate of return making widgets in North Carolina. So instead of buying CNN, I'm going to buy a widget factory. And because of that, we've abandoned the terrain. Look, in the chapter on big tech, I focus a lot on Elon Musk's buying Twitter, the single most important step for free speech in decades. We need to take these outlets over, and you don't have to have all of them. You just have to have a critical beachhead, and we have to invest in the organs of transmission of ideas. And we also have to hold the left to account and let people know how disastrous their policies are.
The book is Unwoke. What currently gives you the greatest hope? There's a lot of black pilling right now, as you know, a lot of negativity. You travel the country, Senator, people are down. What is the greatest source of hope that you see?
Look, we're winning on a lot of fronts. The chapter that I have on big business, I focus on Bud Light and Target. Those were major victories where Bud Light lit themselves on fire. They lost $30 billion in market share. They fell from the number one beer in the country to out of the top 10. And that consequence was powerful because they looked down on their customers. Right after that, Target embraced the aggressive transgender agenda, and moms got furious. They lost tens of billions of dollars in market cap. And the executives at Target were saying, we don't want to be another Bud Light. I talk about both of those in the book as an example. We need to increase the cost of going woke. Let me urge everyone, the book is available in every bookstore. Go on to Amazon or Barnes & Noble right now. Buy this book and buy extra copies for your dad, for your sister, for your friend. They make great Christmas gifts. But this book right now is dominating the charts in politics on Amazon, and that is pissing the New York Times off enormously. So buy the book. You'll enjoy it. By the way, it's also a fun read. It's not academic and abstract. It's stories. It's real. It's practical. It's interesting and fun. And so I think you'll enjoy the book.
Senator, we'll be buying a bunch and giving them to our students. And you've always been so generous coming to our events at Turning Point USA. You always are there for us. And so I want everyone to unite and buy the senator's book, Unwoke, super important. Senator, thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I want to piggyback on what we were talking about with Senator Ted Cruz and play a piece of tape here. This is Jamal Bowman, who, by the way, he should be, under equal application of the law, at least serving like an afternoon in jail. Pulling the fire alarm, it's ridiculous. He's a liar. He's a bad person. But it's actually an interesting piece of tape here. I thought it was a button to open up the door. Either you're a moron or you're a liar, or maybe both because you're a Democrat. Play cut six here. It's actually a very revealing clip here. Play cut six.
Let's talk about Gaza, Congressman. How much damage is Joe Biden's support for Israel doing to the Democratic base? Yes, it could. And let me just be very clear. It's one thing to support Israel. It's another thing to never hold Israel accountable. And the Muslim community, the Arab community, and Palestinians hear that loud and clear and receive that as erasure, and even further, receive it as dehumanization. Historical, just continuing to support Israel without the proper critiques and accountability led us to what happened on October 7th, but also what's happening now.
All right, so two things. Number one, if I were to give PR advice to the IDF, of which they haven't listened to a thing I've said because it's just been kind of a joke, they're doing better in the last week. I got to say, the Israeli government, they've been better, largely because people aren't talking about it as much, is very simple. Talk about this as a war of liberation, okay? You are here to liberate people being held captive by Hamas. There's too much confluence. Say that we are coming here to liberate you from your captors. First of all, it's true. So it has the side benefit of being true. But that's less of an invasion and more of we are here to spring you free to flourish. And by the way, if we go a level deeper, if you look at it, it then makes the people seem deeply unthankful. Israel will end up freeing the people of Gaza and they'll be hated for doing it. But I think you could win far more PR points, at least with some normies and some people in the middle. If you say, we are here to free you from your captives, to get you out of captivity. Just honestly, IDF, this whole thing that we're going to kill every last person of Hamas, it's true, it's honest, it's fine, not working in the West. By the way, you don't even have to define what freedom would mean, okay? Some form of self, not Hamas, okay? You don't have to get too into the details. I think a war of liberation would help. Anyway, the point is this. That's just PR stuff. To piggyback on what we were talking about with Senator Ted Cruz, this is something that there is this massive reckoning, cognitive dissonance. By the way, there is this incredible tweet, Eli Klein, quote, "Today's election day. I'm a lifelong Democrat, but as a Jew, I'll be voting Republican. Republicans will do a lot more to curb anti-Semitism than Democrats, who are not treating anti-Semitism nearly as seriously as they've been treating the most petty examples of other bigotry." Wow. Eli Klein from New York, voting Republican for the first time. But here's what Jewish Democrats or Jews in general are going to have to make a decision. Until you crush the cultural Marxist lens of which they view the world, you will never actually be able to build support for Israel. You cannot subsidize support and play footsie with cultural Marxism and have a future for the state of Israel. So you have to choose. And Jews have been some of the largest funders of cultural Marxist ideas and supporters of those ideas over the last 30 or 40 years. Stop supporting causes that hate you. Now you might say, well, how is one thing applied to the other? If you train a generation of you everything through an oppressor-oppressed lens, they will apply that lens to the Israel-Hamas conflict. The same way that they apply it to the police issue, the gender issue, good guy, bad guy, somebody on top, somebody on bottom. Until you cleanse that ideology from the hierarchy and the academic elite of the West, there will not be a safe future. I'm not going to say Israel won't exist, but Israel will be in jeopardy as long as the Western children of the West are being taught with primarily Jewish dollars subsidizing it to view everything through oppressor-oppressed dynamic. Until you shed that ideology, you will not be able to build the case for Israel because they view Israel as an oppressor. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.